Multiple sclerosis is one of the most feared autoimmune diseases. It's where the immune system attacks, almost at random, the fatty insulin sheath around nerves in the brain and spinal cord, causing a variety of potentially disabling neurological symptoms. MS used to be a sentence to a shorter life, often with significant years spent in a wheelchair. But there's been a revolution in the treatment of MS, and it's transformed the outcome for many people with the condition. Dr. John Parrott is a neurologist who specialises in the care of people with MS. Welcome to the Health Report.
Thank you for inviting me, Norman. Thank you.
So just remind us how multiple sclerosis shows itself in people and in what and in whom.
Yes, so MS is a condition that presents mostly in young people. And the average age of onset would be around about 30 years of age. And there's a propensity for women to be affected more so than men. It's about 3 to 1. And as you mentioned, Norman, the issue with MS is not so much the brain and the spinal cord, it's the immune system. So there's an aberrant or unusual immune response that occurs and is directed against some form of protein, probably, in the brain and the spine. And we don't know what the target is, but ultimately these immune cells cause damage to the fatty sheath of the nerves, so-called demyelination. And if that occurs in an eloquent structure, as we put it, so namely some part of the nervous system that has a direct function, then it leads to symptoms. So if it was the optic nerve, it would be a visual problem. If it's the spinal cord, weakness or numbness, the balance center of the brain, the cerebellum, would be a loss of balance, of course.
And it's really quite sinister because it proceeds in the brain without necessarily any symptoms showing, and quite a lot of damage can be done before a symptom appears or you notice that it's actually getting worse.
That is exactly the problem. So when MRI came about, the original studies demonstrated that for every single lesion that causes symptoms, 10 occur in the brain. And so that's an awful lot of damage occurring under the radar.
And MRI, medical magnetic resonance imaging, has transformed the treatment in some ways because it allows you to measure the effect of treatment rather than with symptoms. Because what bedeviled multiple sclerosis was it comes and goes and it waxes and wanes and you get better for a while. And people thought that was the treatment. But in fact, it often wasn't. But you've got this inexorable deterioration. MRI scans can pick this up and measure it objectively.
Yeah, that's right. So it's much more accurate to have a composite of measures that covers the potential for this nerve fiber damage or axonal damage. And that includes measurements of these clinical episodes, progression of disability. So in essence, measurement by the neurologist and MRI. And MRI shows us a lot more than we see clinically, but it's moving on again. And so we realize that MRI is in some ways, you know, got a certain resolution, and there's microscopic issues going on, there's microscopic damage, and there's development of new techniques such as measuring brain volumes, brain atrophy, and a protein in the blood called neurofilament. So neurofilament leaches out of the brain when there's damage to the brain, and this is an even higher resolution on the damage that occurs in MS. So
tell me about this revolution in treatment.
So MS treatments have been available for about 25 years. The initial treatments were modestly effective. The issue was that they were useful for some people, but for a large proportion, there was ongoing inflammation and disability. In the last 10 years, the efficacy of the treatments has increased substantially and progressively, and it's continuing to do so. So whereas about 10 years ago, we were seeking to just slow the progression of MS, now there are treatments out there that are strong enough to induce genuine remission and protracted remission, not in everyone, but in fairly large proportions of people with MS. So it's making a marvelous difference in terms of preventing disability.
Not without side effects, of course.
No, there's issues with all of these medications and the more potent medications. There are the potential for infections, there's the potential for other autoimmune sequelae, but generally these can be managed very well by neurologists.
And it's really a question now of you go in hard early with these medications.
Yeah, so the whole concept regarding the treatment of MS has changed. Obviously, the longer that you leave that process, untreated or partly treated, the more likely there is to be not only damage accumulating, but also a kind of chronicity developing to the lesions. So rather than just the singular acute lesion, they become chronic and smouldering and ingrained, if you like. And so the notion is to not only stop the current inflammation and prevent disability, but also to stop the progression of that pathological problem.
So tell me what induces this long-term remission. I mean, I know I've heard you talking about effectively cure in some people.
Yes, so it's changing the immune system, and for some medications that does mean staying on the drug prospectively, or at least as far as we know. For other medications, there's a so-called induction therapy, so we're knocking down the troublemakers, we're knocking down the immune cells that are believed to be causing the autoimmune response, and then hoping and sometimes expecting that they don't come back. And there is a very potent treatment called autologous stem cell transplant, which actually does that at a very high level. So for some people, and it's not everyone, as I say, but for some people, probably increasing percentages, these potent therapies that change the immune system are liable to prevent recurrence of the disease in some.
It's extraordinary. And is this learning about targeting these white blood cells, these T cells, translating to other autoimmune diseases?
In some ways, I mean, the interestingly, the treatments for MS are really quite specific. I mean, they can be used in other conditions where, you know, you want to eradicate immune cells, notably transplant and transplant rejection. MS is in some ways got its own set of medications and often borrows from other fields, in fact.
John, thanks for joining us. That's been illuminating.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much, Norman.
Dr. John Parrott is a neurologist at Royal North Shore Hospital and the University of Sydney.